Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the late 1990s, I took the youth group from Gethsemane Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin, where I was serving, to a youth congress in Minneapolis. The youth, we went a day early, drove in so we could make it in time, and we visited my home congregation, and so the youth slept at my home congregation on the gym floor. Ooh, big fun. But the next morning, we went to my mom's house for breakfast. Now, the youth were expecting perhaps an array of cereal or something like that, but what they got was something more. You see, my mom loved setting a pretty table. And as her children had all grown up and our visits were less and less frequent, she went all out when she had a chance. And so when the youth came in to my mom's condo and they turned the corner, there was the table. Crystal goblets for your juice. My mom had set out her fruit-painted Lennox dinnerware. There was sterling silver flatware. There were linen napkins. It was, oh my gosh. One girl was asking, and she's like, are we supposed to sit there? She says, I've never seen anything so fancy in my entire life. And my mom said, of course, yes, come sit. And there was fruit and there was breakfast casseroles and all kinds of things. And the youth were a little intimidated to begin with, but by the end, we were all having so much fun. Hospitality is an incredible thing. From allowing the pastor to sit in your living room to a fancy breakfast setting to a meal or an overnight. Hospitality can mean many things in many different situations. But hospitality is also something we are encouraged to do and how to live as followers of Jesus and as children of God. Hospitality runs through our Old Testament and our gospel readings today as we watch Abraham and Sarah, Martha and Mary welcome guests and live out their hospitality. Our story from Genesis is always a little awe-inspiring to me. Abraham sees travelers coming near and invites them to his home for some hospitality. Now, tradition says that these three men may be angels, or they might even be the three persons of the Trinity embodied. But they have come to visit Abraham, and in typical understated fashion, Abraham invites them to come in for a little water and a little bread. And then he goes out and has Sarah mix 50 pounds of bread dough, kills a calf, and then brings the freshest curds to them to eat while they wait for the rest of the feast. You see, in Abraham's day, hospitality was recognized as a sacred duty. Strangers and travelers were to be greeted with respect, honor, and even protection. Abraham gets a feeling that these travelers are special, and he pulls out all of the stops, welcoming them extravagantly. These travelers eventually make a promise to Abraham and Sarah. Now, I don't think that the promise comes because of the greeting or because of the hospitality. I believe that Abraham, in being hospitable, is showing the faith that he has in God, and that faith is what leads to the promise, and the promise is that Sarah will have a son within the year. This son is the offspring that God has promised, and this offspring is now coming into the world. This is the son that Abraham and Sarah have doubted and yearned for, they have cried about, been angry over, and hopeful, ever hopeful for, and this son is coming soon. It's not why Abraham was hospitable, but God recognizes the faith of his children, and God reckons that to us as righteousness. Now in the gospel, as Jesus is continuing his journey down to Jerusalem, he is invited into the home of Martha and Mary. Martha and Mary welcomed Jesus and the disciples into their home, and while Martha was busy preparing the meal, Mary sat at Jesus' feet, listened to Jesus' teaching and all that he was saying. Now, in the house that I grew up in, at Sunday dinner, when everyone was there, no one got to just sit and watch the TV or read their book, no one but my dad. And that was because we had all had his cooking when mom was at work, and no one was inviting dad to come into the kitchen for Sunday dinner. His idea of cuisine was a raw hamburger and onion sandwich. I mean it. Everyone else helped, setting the table, making the salad, mashing potatoes, whatever was asked. It was all hands on deck. And so Martha, in the spirit of all of my sisters, comes to Jesus and asks that he send Mary back to the kitchen to help, because it's all hands on deck, after all. Now Jesus knows the hospitality that Martha is striving for. It's the same hospitality that Abraham and Sarah were providing. Jesus also knows that dinner is gonna be wonderful. But Jesus wants Martha, and he wants all of us as well, to know and to understand that hospitality looks like lots of things and not just one thing. For Martha, providing the meal and a place to rest is paramount. For Mary, listening to Jesus and learning from him is of utmost importance. And so, which is it? Is it Martha? Is it Mary? Is it working? Is it listening? Which could possibly be right? And my good Lutheran answer is, of course, yes. They're both right, and maybe even more so. All right? Jesus isn't choosing sides in today's story, but he is giving Martha a glimpse of the kingdom. There's only one important thing, Jesus says. And that one important thing isn't food or feather pillows. It's not roasted veal or cheese curds. It's not a fancy place setting. The one important thing is love. Love for God. Love for your neighbors. Love as a neighbor. Love for each other. It's love. Jesus tells Martha that Mary has chosen better. Not that Mary made the only choice, but it's a better choice now because Jesus is there. They could both be listening and learning from Jesus before his suffering and death. What Jesus never does is Jesus never tells Martha that she made the wrong choice. See, this is important for us and our lives as Christians. Because as followers of Jesus, as children of God, there will be times when we need to go and do likewise. Like we heard last week with the story of the Good Samaritan. In our lives, we need to become neighbor to and for people around us. We are called to live the hospitality of Abraham and Sarah and Martha. But we also need to take the time to listen and learn from Jesus, our Lord. We need to take the time to ponder and contemplate the grace and the goodness of God in our lives. We need to take the time to repent and confess and feel the forgiveness, life, and salvation that is ours in the love of God. Jesus is showing us all that truth as he encourages Martha in listening, knowing that the doing will happen anyway. You see, this hospitality that we are called to is not another requirement or a rule that we must follow, because if we don't, God won't notice us or like us. The hospitality we are called to comes directly from the hospitality that God shows us in the love of Jesus. We are invited to this table, where the suffering and death of Jesus provides us with a meal and a memory. We are invited to come to this place of worship, to listen to the Word of God with a capital W, to sit at the feet of our Lord, who is the head of the body, the church. And then the resurrection of Jesus fills us with God's love so that we will always have enough to go and become neighbor as the world needs us to. Angels may not always predict children by your hospitality. Your sister may or may not scold you by your hospitality. But one thing is certain, we get to share God's love, making a vision for a world filled with love, peace, and hope into our everyday mission. Amen.